Very good, and welcome to the Fred Report technical market call for December 14th, 2017. We are coming down to the end of the year, we thank everybody for their support this year. If anyone has any extra BDA money, we can use it right up to the 31st. We've done that for people in the past when they've had some extra. So thank you. Thanks to everyone else that's already prepaid. Let's get right into the markets. I know people are looking forward to holiday lunches and stuff. So very briefly, we don't see any reason to really change any of our forecasts. A couple things we'd like to see a little more of, but basically stocks still look up into year end. The only areas that are of interest is, you know, are tech and small cap going to start to pick up a little bit? We think they are, but we still think the leadership could be in the last 2-3 weeks, industrials and some of the other sectors. You know, IWM has had a nice rally to new highs and has pulled back to support. You've got overbought weekly stochastics, not a surprise. But the daily stuff is turning up, and we could see a little bit more zap there on the upside into the end of the year. It is sort of winding down. Our level of questions has fallen off markedly. Not a surprise, we're winding down too. In the bond market, the only thing I would say is, you know, accumulation models and stuff still look weak. Bonds are holding in there, though, and we'll have to see how they do. Our big concern is on TLT, the weekly stochastic, has rallied a lot from roughly, let me get you guys exact dates, from roughly the week of 11-3 to now, and has really made no net progress, and that weekly stochastic is almost overbought. If that doesn't pick up, the next sell signal on the weekly stochastic could lead to corrective behavior. So we have to watch that very carefully. But so far, that pattern says that we have at least a chance of going up some more. And again, we're going to remark on this on every call pretty much. Our measurement for where the secular bull market in bonds ends is on TYX, the 30-year bond index. That is 3250. We are comfortably below that at 2750. That weekly stochastic may turn up in the next few weeks, but so far, we do not have a signal saying that the bull market in bonds has ended. In terms of commodities, gold may have bottomed. This is very frustrating, as we've said. One of the things that we're always concerned about when we make forecasts is, you know, what if we come within, you know, a half a point or something, and people don't look at buying it? And that may have happened at GLD. So far, the low on GLD has been versus our target of 117. That low has been 117.40. Looking at the weekly stochastic, it gave a failed buy signal. It's come down. The next turn up above 20 on that weekly stochastic should give us enough to get a move back up into the high 120s, possibly even 130. The daily stochastic has turned up. If you are gold traders, you want to start to accumulate gold now and look at your positions at the end of the year. We had talked in the letter about GDX and GDXJ looking like bottoms. Those also have bounced off of these support areas. We can see a little bit more consolidation and choppiness here. Lots of people are looking for a seasonal low in gold at this time, so that may frustrate them. But on GDX, above 2240 says we're on the way to higher prices. On GDXJ, we did poke above that area at 3150 a little bit. It's selling off today. Back above 3150, 32 would say that GDXJ is on its way, and the daily stochastics on both of those are positive. On oil, you're seeing a slow recycle in the daily stochastic. On UGA, you're seeing some pullback and now stabilization. All of these things suggest that gold could get one more push into the end of the year or the first part of next year. people have remarked on UNG on how it's making new lows, and that's true. We're going to write a piece on that this weekend, and we're working with one of our clients in Canada, Tim, who has addressed us on the call before. The fact is, UNG is the only one of the ETFs that's actually made new lows, new contract lows. UNL is down, but it is holding above the lows. So natural gas may actually start to be a play in here. We're going to have to do some more research on that. That's a very interesting area to us. But watch that area carefully, because that means stocks like Chesapeake and ExxonMobil may start to do pretty well. In terms of international, we have no real changes. We like international. We think that EFA could do slightly better than EEM, but this is like one of those horse races where the lead changes 10 times in 2 minutes. Right now, we've been right on that. EFA is doing better than EEM, but that could change easily. What we have done in our portfolio models is we've gone to INDY and are playing a single country to represent us in emerging markets, India. And in developed, we have three. We have Canada, we have Switzerland, and we have Italy somewhere. Italy has had a good run. We may take it out this year and switch that for something else. Other than that, those are my basic comments. There's just not a lot going on right now in these markets except for some drift. And it is expiration day today, so we could see some weird stuff at the end of the day. But I'm going to open the call to Jeff Garbaz for some questions. Jeff, do you have anything for us?
Hey, Fred. So if IWM gets back above the 155-ish level, where do you think it could run to before the end of the year?
You know, Jeff, I think we could get to 162 is the number I've been looking at for that.
162, okay.
Yeah, 155, 156 to 162.
That would be a pretty good move. Hey, just to alert on something that we talked about in the past, the tax situation as it relates to capital gains, it looks like, I'm kind of amazed by it, but it looks like these guys are going to put in a FIFO-only approach for individuals and leave the mutual funds at being LIFO or FIFO. So that, I think we got to watch that closely, but the way the bill, everything that's been produced, it says that it's staying in. So effectively, it's a capital gains increase. So if anyone has a loss, they're going to probably try and take it between now and the end of the year. So just to be aware of that, that's something that needs to be watched. Now, I've created a basket of these all the stuff that fits in here. So I'm going to track it and start to see if, in fact, we do start to see selling. There was an advisor who came on the other day on TV. A woman, Nancy Spangler, who's Heartland Financial, and she was saying that they're seeing tax selling. I went and looked at, like, all the stocks that fit in that category of down 10% or more, and 55% of those stocks on that day were actually up, and only 45% were down. So I don't view that to this point yet there's been any of that, but I'll keep you posted on that. And that's all I have. I've got no other questions. I'm like you.
It's pretty dull. I mean, I was about to say it's dull as Christmas, but that would be sort of, you know, bad joke, Fred. Let's open for questions, see if there's anything anyone else has for us. This could be a very slow call day today.
Hey, Fred, Scott.
Scott, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. So, obviously, I do not work at Morgan Stanley, but I heard Mike Wilson is calling for a 5% type of air pocket after the passage of the bill. Do you have anything technically that would back that up? My first question.
You know, Scott, just the fact that the market is overbought, a 5% correction really isn't all that much, although I guess it is in this market. The market is overbought as it stands right now, looking at the indicators. So if we had such a thing, I would buy it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Secondly, you and I have been in this business a long time. We've seen a lot of different weird things, and yet we've never seen anything like these cryptos. and it's now to the point where it's sort of bifurcated, where some of the smartest, early seers that were buying it are now, kind of tapping their shells on the back, yet the other side of it is just millennials who just don't trust anything, no stocks, nothing, and they're just buying the crap out of this thing, and we all know it's the biggest bubble in history. So a couple of different questions with that backdrop. Does or can this affect equities if that thing implodes? I guess I don't understand the when they say it's a limited $21 million bitcoins out there, but yet I'm hearing of Venezuela and China and Japan all coming out with their own crypto. So it seems like there's a supply rush into this, bum rush into this space. Do you have any general comments on any of that?
Let me make some comments on that because it's interesting. My girlfriend Amy was at a coffee shop where they catered to dogs yesterday. And not only were they all talking about Bitcoin, but one of the younger people there showed them actually how to buy Bitcoin online. Amy is never, she's lovely, but she's never expressed any real interest in any market instrument before. All those things are bubble-ish, but I want to point something out to people, and that is, I decided that the tech move in 1999 had gotten a little bit crazy, and I quit my job at Robinson Humphrey and forecast that the NASDAQ would move to 1,000. Okay. Now, there was only one problem with that, Scott, and that was when I quit, the NASDAQ was at 3,800, and it went to 5,300. Okay. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I was right to quit and sell all my Citigroup stock pretty much in 1999, except for some last shares that I sold just the other day, down almost 90% from when I got them. Scott, I guess what I'm saying is timing this sort of thing is going to be very, very difficult. But when you look at the only charts of Bitcoin I've been able to find, which is the NYSE Bitcoin Index, and the only thing that I can say that I would use on this is my three-week stop-loss rule. The three-week stop-loss rule is designed precisely for this kind of market, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you look at that right now, I'll give you some stop-loss figures. The first stop-loss figure is 94.26. Bitcoin trades 94.26. You're out, and it's going all the way back to 2000.
Okay.
If Bitcoin, and that's a fair jump here from 17,000. That
sure.
Raises next week to 11,000. That raises the week after that to 16,000. Okay, until those numbers are hit, this is still up and it's still in a parabola. Okay,
right.
So I would just be looking at those three-week stop loss rules. The symbol on freestockcharts.com for the NYSE Bitcoin Index is NYXBT, and that index was apparently constructed by going back in the past. It's not actual trading until this year. But until those sorts of numbers start to get hit and this parabola breaks, it's still up.
Right.
The real question in terms of affecting indexes and equities is, now that there are futures on Bitcoin, it means essentially that there is margin where margin calls can be rendered on Bitcoin. Okay?
Right.
And that could theoretically start to affect stocks and commodities, but I don't think it really could. Now, I have not looked at the margin requirements for Bitcoin on the Chicago exchanges.
I've heard 50%.
But 50%, you know, that is reasonable. Another indicator, by the way, from old commodity traders, if you see that margin requirement suddenly raised, that's an excellent indication that that market's going to come down. But the answer to your question is no. Right now, I don't see it affecting equities. Where real estate affected equities in some respects was when those bond markets froze up and those whatever those things were, alternative whatevers, basically froze up, people had to sell other things to meet margin calls. I don't think you've got big institutions in a position where they're going to have to sell anything to meet margin calls on Bitcoin.
What about gold? Is it taking some steam away from the gold crowd?
I don't think so. Gold is trading the way it should trade. And, you know, again, I always try to look at something with the indicators and say, is it trading the way it should trade based on the indicators? And gold is.
Okay. Thanks, Fred.
Sure.
Fred, it's Alan.
Alan, how are you?
I'm great. This is a piece of information that all on the call may find useful. This is also for Jeff. Before your call, I was on the phone with both Shane Lieberman and John Savercool. These are the guys that are in D.C., and I'm speaking with them at least once a day, sometimes multiple times. They're following this tax reform bill.
Right.
And this morning, one of the changes that has just popped up, the Senate provision for FIFO on the sale of disposition of securities was rejected, and it will not be in the final bill. And
okay, that's good to know, Alan, and let's see how that – but that's the first I've heard of that, so that's interesting info. Thank you.
Hey, Alan, that's great. That's great to hear. If that's the case, then that basically means that all Fred's tax loss things can just go ripping away here.
Probably. If you want to hear, I've got about eight other pieces or components that these folks have a very, very high level of confidence in going through.
I think people on the call would be interested in that, Alan. If anyone is not, unmute yourself and say, go on. But I think this is interesting, and there's certainly not that much technical going on. So if you can do it quick, Alan, let's do it.
Sure. Can do. The 21% corporate rate it starts in 2018, January. The corporate AMT repealed. There is a repeal of the Obamacare individual mandate. There is a top tax rate of 37% for individuals, and I can come back and address why that if need be. The AMT for individuals is maintained, but it's with a higher exemption level. It's $500,000 for individuals and $1 million for married couples. There is a doubling of the estate tax limitation. The estate tax will not be repealed. So it goes up to like $11 million per individual, like $22 per joint household. No changes to the private activity bonds, or PABs. There's a cap on mortgage interest deduction, $750,000 for new homes. And then last is this Senate provision for FIFO on the sale or disposition of securities is rejected. So there you have it.
Thank you, Alan.
I trust these guys. They have always been dead on.
Alan, one other quick thing, which I know is in there, the pass-through for S-Corps. That has been expanded to include all S-Corps. Before, it was just only manufacturing. So all professional services are going to be held within that standard, too. That's actually really biggie, too.
Yeah. There's still, in my humble opinion, you just tell folks, we got to raise the hood on this thing and look at the guts of the engine. Because there's a lot of stuff. This is a big, big deal, guys. And ladies.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
hey, does anybody have, that's all anybody, I have.
Any questions for Alan on any of that?
I'm wondering if anybody has any ideas on how to play the surge in pass-through creation, which is going to happen.
You know, Scott, I don't think it's going to happen. And I'll tell you why, although it would be very, very interesting, okay? Let's say that you decided that you were going to become a pass-through corporation and sell your services to your brokerage firm, Merrill Lynch. Okay? Let's say you're going to do that. Okay? Well, Merrill gets some really good things from that. First of all, they don't have to provide you any benefits anymore. You're an independent contractor now.
Right?
It's a big win for Merrill. No unemployment insurance, none of this stuff that they normally have to provide employees. I'm not so sure a lot of employees are going to do that, okay, assuming that the firms and NASD regulations are going to let them do that, okay?
What about RIAs?
RIAs are already pass-throughs in a lot of instances.
Okay.
Right? If you open an IRA, you're opening your own company and you're clearing through someone else. And again, a lot of the guys on wirehouse guys on this call, they don't understand how that works, but I can tell you a little bit about how that works. If you open an IRA, instead of having your Series 7, you've got to go get someone in the group to get their general securities manager or Series 24. You have to open your own company and staff it, and your own company clears on what's called a fully disclosed basis through a clearing firm. Those companies are already basically pass-throughs or corporations or LLCs. So there won't be any net change there. You know, one of the things that I really looked at when I read some article saying, oh, my God, everyone is going to turn into a pass-through company all of a sudden, that's nonsense. I'm sorry, but it is.
Okay, thanks.
Other questions?
Fred, it's Joseph.
Joseph, how are you?
I'm real good, thanks. Real good.
Good seeing you in New York. I'm sorry we couldn't spend more time. I had a lot of people there that I didn't get to talk to that aren't clients, and you and I talk whenever we need to. So,
right.
What's up? What can I do you for?
Real helpful. I had two quick ones. One is LRCX, and the other is GILD.
LRCX. Joseph, that has come down on the weekly chart right to support and is holding on pretty decently. The only thing that may happen with that is you may need to go sideways to slightly down for a little bit until that weekly stochastic comes down.
And it's reasonable.
This is actually where I would try to buy it.
Right. Okay, that's what I was thinking. And Gilead, G-I-L-D?
Gilead, this stock has been a huge disappointment to me. I've managed to lose a bunch of money on this several times. But now, again, the weekly stochastic has turned up. It's made a higher low, so that's a very good sign that that bottom at 72 to 70 is probably going to hold, and I could buy Gilead here.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. All right, thank you.
And, you know, Joseph, I thought of you yesterday. Pfizer looks like it's going to start to put on a little bit of a move here, and I know that's the sort of stock that you have played on occasion, and that actually, I have overlooked that one. That one could start to make new highs here.
Yeah.
So if you're not in that one, take a look.
It's been up and down between, 29 and 36 for a long time.
Yes, it's a really nice Richard Pryor-ish base, as we say,
If
it starts to come out of that, that could be a really good stock for next year.
Great. Thanks.
Got it. Other questions?
Fred, DJ in Williamsburg.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Hey, can you comment on XLE? Did we run out of juice on the weekly?
Did we run out of gas? That's a Good one. You know, I don't think so, but it's got to get through 70-50. I still can see that making it to 72 by the end of the year. If you've got a profit in it, and realize, too, by the way, CJ, it's at 69.59 on expiration day. Not such a huge surprise. I still can see 72 to 75 on that. We need to see oil do a little bit more, and that may very well start to happen next week.
Okay, thanks.
Got it. Other questions?
Hey, Fred. Steve Smith. Happy holidays.
Hey, Steve. I got your email, and I was going to respond to it this afternoon, but if you want to ask about them, let's go ahead.
Well, sure. Just Baidu and SMH.
I didn't want to write a very quick email. I said don't sell those, but I think that what's happened is the weekly stochastic on that has come down all the way to 17 on Baidu and now could turn up. And if it does, that stock could do really well. And what was the other one again?
SMH.
SMH, semis. That is probably sideways and could come down a little more. If I were going to sell any of them, it would be that one. And I would certainly look at it if it were to fall below 90. But I don't have any urgency or hurry to sell it. It's still basically up.
Right. Okay.
But Baidu is really interesting here.
All right. Thank you for that.
Got it. Other questions?
Hey, Brad. It's Bill.
Bill, how are you? You've got a cold, too.
Yeah, I'm a lot better than I sound. Thanks.
Good.
Okay. Would you comment on Baker Hughes and Teva Pharmaceutical?
Baker Hughes is B-H-I.
B-H-G-E.
No, it's not. Okay.
Boy George. No, Boy Harry George.
Yeah, they
Edgar.
Changed the symbol on that. I got it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as good as some of the other oils, but it's holding support at the bottom end of the space, and you are in a slightly positive configuration. Something's happened to that company, right? They split some of that off or something.
Yes.
But, okay. And TEVA, God, that may finally, you know, every time I've recommended that, Bill, I've pretty much lost. It is starting to come out of its little base on the daily. To get this really going on the weekly, it's got to get above 20, and it looks like it's going to get to 20. So I would probably, if you're aggressive, trade that here and watch it at 20 if the weekly stochastic starts to turn over. I'd be careful there. But this might have finally done it. EIS, Israel, was actually in the chart book, which was interesting because I've been thinking about those markets. I generally do the Middle East right around Christmas, just like I do Turkey right around Thanksgiving. And again, those Israel looks like it could pull back a little bit, but it also looks like it's improving and that low at 46.80 is going to hold. So that may help Teva.
Okay. Thank you, Fred.
Sure.
I'm going to shoot you an email.
Please do.
Okay.
Please do.
Okay. Thanks.
Got it. Other questions?
Say, Fred, this is Dan.
Dan, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. And you?
I am well enough. A little tiny bit of a cold, but other than that, everything is normal.
That time of year. Say, I've got four here. Fastenal, F-A-S-T.
That one looks very, it's overextended, and any move down below 49.50 would probably say that this advance is over. But actually, this is improved enough that new highs should target the 60 area.
Okay. Costco, C-O-S-T.
This fooled me on the last decline. It still looks fine to me. It's at new highs, and I think it's a retailer that's going to do well in spite of the lousy retail environment. So I would hold that, and obviously over 200 somewhere.
Okay. Schlumberger, SLB.
I have been going back and forth with myself over whether this one or Halliburton looks better. Frankly, if you're in this and you have a tax loss, I would take the loss and switch the money into Halliburton.
Okay.
Schlumberger below 60, 59 targets 53.54.
Okay. That's my 59 is my stop.
Yeah.
And then finally the DBC, your commodity index. Gundlach was on yesterday and talking about commodities. Are you still good with that?
I am. I want to see it back above 16. What's happened, though, is the indicators are overbought, and it seems to be giving less so far on the sell signal, and there's a lot of support between 1520 and 1560. So I would let this one play out, frankly.
And target on that would be what?
On the upside, 22, if it stays above, if it can get above 18 and get back above 1650 first. And I actually like this.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Got it. Yeah, DBB is perking up. That's part of DBC. And the agricultural stuff, DBA, has come down hard. But if it moves back above 1850, that would be a cutout low.
Thank you.
Got it. Other questions?
Hey, Brad, it's Jeff. I had someone hit me on Adobe, which is going to report after the close. By the way, Fred, Costco is also going to report after the close today. And then, so Adobe and Microsoft.
Adobe, that's an up chart that looks like, you know, if you want to have some fun, or no, it's after the close. I was going to say buy the 180s for Friday, but they report after the close. That means you're doomed. I would say that's up, and Microsoft, frankly, also looks up, but it's overbought. It wouldn't surprise me to see the earnings on Microsoft be good, but the stock be down.
Where,
but again,
where
Jeff, 8540 on its expiration, right?
Yep. Where could this go to next year, you think, potentially? Because we're kind of in the
Microsoft
territory. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not one of my super favorites, but I would say 92 to 97, somewhere in there. I'm not convinced
okay,
the tech is going to have a banner year next year. But the stock looks fine. And again, something like this, when it breaks out to new highs, the danger is putting a target on it and having it exceed it. That's not the danger, is not holding it.
Got it. Okay, great.
Very good. Fred, any other questions?
Fred,
I thought
yeah,
I heard someone come in. Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is one more. Oracle, they're going to report after the close today, too. ORCL.
That one looks like it's up and going to hit 52 or so, maybe go into that gap.
Okay. And so then no further on that one, just kind of a all-hummer?
Well, it should get into that gap. It may do better than that ultimately, but it should get into that gap fairly quickly.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Got it.
Happy holidays.
Yes, ho, 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 as they say in the vernacular. And I'll have a Christmas card photo out relatively soon, hopefully. Other questions?
Fred, could you look
yes,
at
sir.
ETP?
Yeah, these have been a huge disappointment in a way, but actually I think that looks like it's going to 1850 to 19. Whatever, again, I think this is reacting to no problems with the tax legislation and that these can actually do a little better next year.
Thanks.
Other questions? Going once? going twice. Say, well, this will end the Fed Report technical market call for December 14th, 2017. Everybody enjoy your holidays. We'll probably have one more conference call before the end of the year. We're going to obviously not do a conference call Christmas week, and we probably won't. We'll probably do one after the first of the year after that, but we'll come out with a schedule. Thank you, and have a good rest of the week.